Good morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Better Lawns and Gardens. It's going to be a weather day. Hopefully everyone is taking care of their decorations so that they don't get blown away. What's interesting is that in December, the average rainfall during the month is about 2.5 inches of rain is all we're supposed to get this month in December. But because of the El Nino weather and the weather today, we're going to get between 2 to 5 inches of rain just today and tomorrow morning throughout the state. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning.
Did you bring your galoshes?
No, but the best people in the whole wide world, which I absolutely love, brought me in really good little cookies and yummies, and I'm trying my hardest not to dive in and just talk with my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really trying to not talk with my mouth.
Tony made 11 different types of cookies this year.
I see this.
And he made 82 dozen.
Oh, I believe it. No, yeah. Easily.
And so we will be doing the cookie sleigh tomorrow to all our children and dropping off presents and things like that.
So I got the express cookies.
Specifically, Tony got them done just for you today.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, the rest of them are not bagged.
I'm so excited.
So did you have a good week?
Yes, can't complain.
So, no, it's been great. So let me talk a little bit about the weather. So anywhere you live in the state of Florida, no matter where you're listening to me, if you get a half inch of rain over the next 2 days, you will not have to water or irrigate for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Okay, we're going to get a lot of rain, a lot of flooding in some areas. And so those of you in Tampa are getting rain now, also in Polk County, Cape Coral, Miami, you're getting rain, and Key West, you're going to be getting rain today, and then Port St. Lucie is getting rain now. So it's going to hit us this morning, probably about 11 o'clock today, between 10 and 11 o'clock. And so Mike in Venice, you're going to be getting some rain today if you're not already right now. So it's a good day for staying inside and wrapping presents and looking at seed catalogs and just, you know, getting ready in the holiday spirit. So in the holiday spirit, if you have access to your local PBS, and you can do that also online, there is a great show, Lizzie. It's called The 12 Days of Tudor Christmas.
Ooh.
And it is in the age of Henry VIII. And one of my favorite TV historians and curators, Lucy Worsley, she goes through what a King Henry VIII Christmas would be like. What I found fascinating is that they have great aerial shots of Hampton Court, which was King Henry VIII's favorite castle or palace. And that's where we went this year on our London garden tour, the Chelsea Flower Show garden tour. Mm-hmm. So if you went with us to that, you're going to want to see this show just to see the aerial views of Hampton Court. It's a really great, fun show. And so in that spirit of the traditional Christmas holidays, I'm going to do some trivia for you this morning. So, Lizzie, let's see how good you are, okay?
Okay.
So what country is the poinsettia with its red and green foliage native to?
Mexico.
Yes, yes. Okay, so that was an easy one. So what is the name of the traditional warm holiday beverage that's made from mulled wine or cider, orange, cinnamon, and other spices?
Ooh.
There's a song.
Wassail?
Yes. You're so smart.
Well, I got lead. It's like leading a horse to water.
How long is the average growing time for a Christmas tree?
5 years?
It's seven to 10 years or a little bit longer. They are planting every year. When they cut trees down, they plant 60 to 70 million trees. Again, every year.
Good.
So, you know, don't worry about running out of Christmas trees. True or false, there's a real place called the North Pole.
Oh, that's a hard one. I'm going to say false.
It is true. Ooh. The city of the North, where is it located?
South Africa.
The city of North Pole is located in Alaska and boasts a population of around 2,300 citizens. So, true or false? The North Pole has no time zone.
I would have to say false because Santa knows and he has to keep track of time.
It is true.
What?
All longitudinal lines start at the North Pole, which means there's no time zone for Santa. That's why he gets all the Christmas presents delivered in one day.
Makes sense.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so we have a great show coming up for you today. If you'd like to give us a gardening question, we would love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us at 23680 and let us know if you're having a traditional Christmas beverage this morning. We are going to have more Christmas trivia throughout the morning. And Leah Brooks, Santa's extra special helper.
Yes.
She is so much fun. She is here she's going to be with us this morning to talk about her kind of Christmas decorations. And she's going to be telling us what she is going to be serving on her Christmas dinner. And so we're looking forward to that. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Leah Brooks, she was found in a cabbage patch when she was born. She is incredible. Her mother was a master gardener in Wisconsin, and she had a large and beautiful garden that Leah loved to play in, and she helped her mom pick rhubarb and tomatoes and sugar snap peas, and she had summers at her grandparents' dairy and wheat farm. So helping in the large farm garden are all wonderful memories for Leah's childhood. She's also a master gardener and definitely one of Santa's helpers. Good morning, Leah. Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Wow, you know me so well.
How are you? Are you all set for Christmas?
Yeah, I'm all set. I've got everything bought and we have the winter garden in. I'm ready.
What are you growing right now in your tower garden?
Well, the winter crops, you know, strawberry, spinach, bok choy, lettuce, broccoli, all the different herbs like cilantro, and then peas. I love growing peas in winter. And then I'm still, you know, harvesting those warm weather crops like my tomatoes and my peppers and basil. My basil is a tree right now. It's 6 foot tall.
Oh, my goodness. Your basil is 6 foot tall? That's incredible. Yeah. So with growing all of this, how much space does that tower garden take up?
Well, it's vertical. So it's the outside one is 2.5 feet by about 5 or 5.5 feet tall, depending on what you add to it. And it fits up to 52 plants. And then the indoor one is 2 feet wide and a little bit shorter. So I do have an indoor one, too, that has cucumbers on it and some microdwarf tomatoes and some lettuce.
Do you have a light on for indoors on your tower garden?
Yeah, they have this really cool, like, octopusy light that you can move in and out with as the plants grow bigger. It's a really great light.
Oh, that's incredible. That's wonderful. So is it the tower gardens, do people think about buying them for Christmas gifts?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Actually, this week I've been slammed with people, like grandparents who are, you know, who want their grandkids to eat better, and they also know that it's cool. There's an educational component to it, too. There's a curriculum that comes with the tower garden that's free. And, you know, people who, they know their partner saw one, and they're really excited about it, so they're buying them undercover, you know, getting them ready for Christmas. Just people that really want to give, like, the gift of good health and education and food security to someone they love.
That's wonderful. So do people impulse buy or do they just reach out to you? How would they get them?
It might be 2 or 3 people a year that impulse buy. Normally people reach out to me, which I encourage. I'm so glad because there's a lot of things to consider when you're, you know, planning a garden. Like, You want to think about your space. You want to think about, you know, are you indoors? Are you outdoors? What do you want to plant? All of those things.
So that's important. And I mean, for any type of garden that you want to, you know, to install, you know, that space is very important. So what about if you have a pool deck or with a pool cage? Can you still have a tower garden inside that?
Yeah, that's a great space because, you know, you're not going to get as many of the bugs. The thing that you really need to think about, sun, because the pool deck does decrease the amount of sun, so you want full sun. And then also things like cucurbits, like squashes and cucumbers, you're not going to have the pollinators. So you want to grow parthenocarpic types that don't need pollinators. And this is a very natural thing. You know, it's like a seedless watermelon. So I help people pick the right varieties that are going to thrive under a pool deck so they don't have a big surprise of no cucumbers.
Oh, would you, Parson, say that word again? It sounds like a good dirty word of the day.
Parthenocarpic.
Yes, I'm gonna do that. So that'll be a great one to start the new year off with. And so,
awesome.
So you can grow in a pool deck. What about Florida rooms or lanais?
Yeah, that's very popular, but it's my least favorite, and I try my best to talk people out of it. The tower garden is movable, so if they, you know, do put it there, we can move it if it doesn't work. But they're often damp. They have poor airflow. They have limited sun. And people think because their philodendron is thriving that their tomatoes are going to grow. But really, that's an environment for a tropical plant, mm-hmm. not an annual fruit and vegetable plant. Plants are like, you know, fruits and vegetables are like people. They want to be out in the sun, the wind, and the rain, or fully indoors and air conditioning.
All right. And so what about wintertime with you're growing all these winter crops, but what if we have a freeze or really cold temperatures for a week at a time?
Oh, it's really cool. Okay, so the tower garden is filled with water. There's no soil, and that water circulates. What I do is I put a fish tank heater in there and set it to 68 or 70 degrees. And then I cover the tower garden with a frost cloth. And I just do this during the freeze, like at night, because in Florida, we don't freeze during the day.
Right.
And I circulate that. And my tomatoes, my basil, everything is going to make it through the winter just fine.
Wow, that's incredible. That's wonderful. So do you get pollinators coming to your tower garden?
Yeah, for sure. Like I like to plant some flowers in my tower, but also over time I've gradually improved my areas around the tower and added more, you know, native wildflowers and blooming plants and bushes and things like that, because having those things will attract the pollinators in and also create breeding grounds for the good bugs that eat the bad bugs. The more I do that, the less pest control I have to do.
That's wonderful. And so what about pests, you know, other than pollinators? Not that pollinators are pests, but what about other insects and disease issues?
Yeah, you get less of them on the tower garden because you're not in the ground. So you don't have the, what are those? Oh, I can't even think of what it is. The things that love to thrive in sand and attack the roots.
Oh, nematodes. Nematodes.
Nematodes. So there's no nematodes. And we're the number one nematode state in the country, I believe. But we don't have that in the tower garden. Because the plants are like little babies in there and they're getting the right amount of nutrients, the right amount of water and all that, they do have a healthier, more robust immune system. Mm-hmm. So we see like 40, 60 or more percent less pests on the tower garden. And then I teach people how to deal with whatever pops up. People send me pictures. I get pictures all day long and I love it. And I teach people what to do.
Wonderful. And so how much does a tower garden cost? If someone was wanting to give one as a gift, what would it cost them?
So you can do pay in full or you can do monthly, and a tower garden is $670. If you add on, you know, some height and you need a dolly and you need lights, if you're going to grow inside, it can be right around $1,000. We can do monthly payments and break that up into 12 equal monthly payments.
How does that compare to buying groceries?
Well, I've been growing mine for 13 years. And, you know, once you get over that initial cost, it costs about $100 or $130 a year to maintain a tower garden, and you're going to get about $100 or more worth of food off of it every month. So it's thousands of dollars back for your investment.
That is great. So how could people interested in giving a Christmas gift of a tower garden to their family or loved one or friend, how can they do that?
Yeah, just contact me in the next couple of days. They ship out really fast. They ship from Memphis. So if we ordered it in the next couple of days, it'll come by Christmas. And they can text me at 386-473-2638. Or they can go to my website, which is leahbrooks.towergarden.com.
And so can they also give a gift certificate?
Sure. Yeah, we can make that happen.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So, Leah, say your telephone number and how to get a hold of you again. And you also have a Facebook page, too, right?
Yes, I'm on Facebook under my name, Leah Brooks. And then my phone number is 386-473-2638. And my website is Leah, L-E-A-H, Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, .towergarden.com.
Thank you so much, Leah, for coming on today. You truly are really one of Senta's great helpers.
Oh, thank you. And you stay dry today.
Oh, we will. Thank you so much. Take care, hon. Merry Christmas. And that's Leah Brooks. And I will be posting on our Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page the information to contact her. It's just a really great gift, especially for families, that it helps children, you know, learn where food comes from and how to grow it. And then it's a lot neater. You don't get as dirty.
That's the thing, is that I've learned over the years with kids that they're actually, believe it or not, I know this sounds crazy, but there's kids who don't like to get dirty, don't like to touch dirt to be outside. So to have this inside and have, you know what I'm saying, have this smaller situation where, oh yeah, this is a good idea.
A 6-foot tall basil plant.
I couldn't reach it. Couldn't reach the top, sorry.
It would be a canopy tree, right? Because you keep pulling the leaves off the bottom.
Pretty much.
There you go. If you have a gardening question, we would love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. We will have Leah Brooks's contact information on our Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page today, and we will listen. If you missed any of that information, you can also hear us on podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and betterlawns.com. They will be uploaded today. And so one trivia question for you, Lizzie, and this is right for you because I have, well, let's see. When did eggnog originate?
1826.
Wow, you're pretty precise. Wrong. According to PBS, the creamy drink dates back to British medieval times and was first known as posset, P-O-S-S-E-T. And so what is posset? Well, we know that it is milk mixed with an alcohol, typically ale, wine, or brandy, that is sweetened and spiced and served hot. So true or false? Oh, I love eggnog hot.
Whoa. That's scrambled eggs.
Eggnog is America's least favorite winter beverage. True or false?
Oh, I would say, yes, it's the least.
That's false. It's America's second favorite winter beverage, right behind hot chocolate.
Ooh.
Isn't that great?
So there's more people out there like me.
That's it. That's it. All right. And so if you would like to have your garden question answered, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or text me 23680. Let me know what you're doing today in your garden if you're going to get out there in the rain. Again, no need to turn on your irrigation through the next 2 weeks. We're going to have enough rainfall. The temperatures are going to be cooler. Down in the 30s and 40s, 30s up in North Florida. Down near South Florida, you're going to be in the 50s at night. And we're going to have a real great day. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. It is a great time to ask your gardening question while you're sitting there getting ready for the rain and looking at those seed catalogs, or maybe you're wrapping presents and maybe you're eating Christmas cookies. So
I have to admit,
Did you have one?
Yes. And okay, my favorite thing in life is cranberry and orange. And I saw that. And then I bit into it. And here's what I love about Tony's baking. I'm sorry. I know we need to take a caller, but Tony needs to have his own bakery because he cooks like a New England taste butter for sweets. Those that don't like extremely Southern sweets, his are just, it has a little bit of sweet and a little bit of tart. And I will be his salesperson if he ever opens up.
They're so good with a cup of tea, I'm telling you.
And they're the perfect size. They're like thumbnails.
They're bite size. There you go. That's wonderful. Oh, wonderful. And so if you have a gardening question, we'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Phil in Apopka. Good morning, Phil. Merry Christmas. How can I help you?
Been listening to you since Lake County, WLBE.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. In your backyard, I did that for about 20 years.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yep. Got a question. I got a bed of azaleas, and somehow they got infested with beggar lice. I call it beggar lice. It's a flat hitchhiker.
Yes.
And every time you get even close, it just eats your clothes up, you know.
Uh-huh.
How can I get rid of these without killing my azaleas?
Well, so how big are your azaleas?
Oh, mercy. They're about four and a half foot tall.
Yeah, they're a good size. I would say that I would go ahead and I would literally have to hand pull them out from the bottom, okay, and just take a day, Phil, and just remove them all. How many do you have?
How many
azaleas?
Weeds do I have?
No, I wouldn't ask you that, but how many azaleas do you have?
Oh, I don't know. There must be about 15 in this one bed I've got. I've got another bigger bed. I'm legally blind, so I didn't want to have to get in there.
No, I understand that. No, I understand that. That's a little bit too much. So I don't want you to use any kind of herbicide because that's going to affect the azaleas. My suggestion is, especially this time of the year, when it goes the seeds are just going to reproduce every year. I would just suggest, Phil, literally to hire someone to pull them all out, then mulch it real well, okay? And then start off with a clean slate through the wintertime, and then next year with the mulch, you should have less weeds.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Phil. Thank you for calling.
You
Merry
too.
Christmas.
Bye-bye.
All right. And so that's just kind of a difficult thing, but I don't want to use an herbicide because it will affect the azaleas.
Right.
And so hand pulling right now when they get to be like that is wonderful. Let's Susan in Tallahassee says, I have several large Waikiki colocasia in the ground. Is this a good time to dig and split them? Can I leave some in the ground for wintertime? Well, the good news, Susan, is that Waikiki colocasia, which is a beautiful, gorgeous colocasia, kind of like, if you're not familiar with colocasia, it's like an elephant ear, but it's pink and green and cream. They're just gorgeous. They are winter hardy. You can grow them in zone 7B down through 11, and if it does get cold, they go dormant in the wintertime. So I would suggest that if you're going to dig them up and divide them, Susan, that I would do it in the springtime, not necessarily right now. Just go ahead maybe in the end of February, dig them up and replant them, and they'll be ready to go for the spring and summertime. But they are absolutely gorgeous. It's one of my favorite plants in the garden. So 7B, they could take temperatures down as low as 5 degrees. So,
really?
You know, Florida's never going to get to be 5 degrees. Not right now. Knock on wood.
You know what I'm so happy about? I cannot believe that I didn't text this to you, okay? My camellias, who are pink with white splashes, are blooming like there's no tomorrow.
And they look great.
Gorgeous.
Oh,
so I took some pictures. I need some too. You can put them on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll post them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. That's wonderful.
It's funny because we used to own a lawn business back from like 07 to like 17. Mm-hmm. And we would have customers who couldn't get anything to grow. And they were just like, pull it out. So my husband would pull it out. And that was one of these bushes. And it is exploded. They never had a bud, nothing. So I don't know what they were doing wrong. But
some plants know when they're not appreciated.
Well, it's appreciated today.
So the leaves on your box are bay leaves. Don't they smell great?
They smell. Okay, y'all, look, I pull in this parking lot. I'm the luckiest person in the whole wide world. And thank you, dear Jesus, for everything that, you know, I have here with Teresa. And she goes, hold on a second, open up the back of your truck. I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, all right, she's going to make some cool plants like she always does. No, this woman just gave me a box that's as long as my F-150 back of my truck. And I'm like, Teresa. And she goes, look at the bay leaves on the front. I said, I smell them. Why, thank you.
Doesn't it smell like Christmas?
Oh, love it.
Yeah, so everybody needs to get a bay tree for their yard. And these are not big trees. I mean, they are. Mine is about, I would say, probably 15 feet tall.
Okay.
And but it's only about 5 feet wide.
Okay.
And it is just beautiful. But I love to cut them and use them as decorations during Christmas time because they smell so good.
Yes. Yes. And they smell.
And they do get the berries on them. So
nice.
That bay tree is just wonderful. So let's see. Linda, thank you so much for listening out there. We're getting some good morning greetings and appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
And let's see. I have another little bit of trivia here. What did I want to do, the trivia? I have some trivia.
Well, whenever you find it, why don't we ask the listeners and let them text in?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Because I would like their opinion.
Yeah. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text at 23680.
Can I tell you how aggravated I was whenever I went to a grocery store yesterday and I saw they had little holly plants for sale and I was excited. I went over to go pick it up and they had fake holly berries wrapped around it. And I was like, are you kidding me? They were so pretty and shiny. I was like, look at these hollies.
That's a tough part. And, you know, when I see your little Charlie Brown Christmas tree there, that it's just so cute.
Thanks.
It's adorable. And, you know, so again, what should you be doing this time of the year? Well, we don't really want you to cut back any of your spring blooming plants. Do not cut back your camellias. Do not cut back your azaleas. Do not cut back your hydrangeas right now. You want them to be able to bloom in the springtime. And so there's no reason to do that. No reason to cut your fruit trees either, your flowering fruit trees. Your apples, your pears, your peaches, no need to do that. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Winter arrives December 21st at 10:27 p.m. So winter is on its way, and usually we see the cooler temperatures when we get these cold fronts coming through like we are this weekend. And it's not a tropical storm. It could be. It almost was, but it's just going to dump a lot of rain, so you want to be very careful if you're out delivering presents this weekend and being on the roads buying presents. You want to be very careful about the flooding. There will be some flooding in some areas.
Yeah, I know they put some warnings out already.
Yeah, they have. And so I've got three trivia questions here left, so I want to make sure everyone hears these. Which one of Santa's reindeer, Lizzie, has the same name as another holiday mascot?
You asking me or you asking the listeners?
Oh, I can ask the listeners, too. They can call in. But Santa's reindeer has the same name as another holiday mascot? We'll let that sink in and maybe somebody will.
We'll chew on that one for a minute.
Okay, so this one I have to clarify. So it's a popular holiday plant known to be an aphrodisiac. Now, I want to clarify this because the berries are toxic, so you don't want to eat them. But being around it gives you the feeling of love.
I know what it is, but I don't want to say it.
Okay.
I'm done. Let's have fun with our listeners.
Okay.
I know that one.
You know that one. Okay. And then the last one is, what is the significance of a Yule log? Have you ever had a Yule log? It's a British custom. Yule log symbolizes the log you should burn on Christmas Eve. And so what is the tradition with that Yule log? So If you know any of those, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, and we would love to hear from you. So Leah talked about growing vegetables, and, you know, the vegetables are all the cool seasoned vegetables that taste good in stews and soups, and the ground vegetables, root vegetables like beets, and then carrots, and then also radishes and Swiss chard and turnips. But you can also be planting broccoli and Brussels sprouts, carrots and cauliflower, collards and horseradish. That's another root vegetable. Lettuce and mustard, onions and peas, radicchio, spinach, and all of those are really great to go. They can take the cold weather. You do not have to worry about covering them up. And they love it when it's nice and cool. Now, herbs are very popular. Let's see if you can grow a record high basil at 6 foot tall. Anise and arugula, basil, bay, chives, cilantro, coriander, dill, and fennel, garlic and lavender, mint, oregano, parsley, rosemary, and I'll be talking about rosemary in the next hour, sage and sweet marjoram, thyme, and watercress. All of the wonderful herbs that, you know, the seasonal foods that we have at Thanksgiving and at Christmas time, and even at Easter, you know, are all dependent, those smells and fragrances, mm-hmm. all based on herbs and spices and cooking. This is the time of the year that we love to cook.
Well, what I've kind of noticed is that everybody seems to be hopping on this bandwagon. I saw it first at a box store selling plants. And they take the rosemary tree and the rosemary bush plant, and they turn it into looks like a Christmas tree. And it does look like a Christmas uh-huh. tree. And then when you get near it, it smells like rosemary. So, of course, I fell for it and I bought two of them, even though I have like a bushel of rosemary growing already. But it was so cute. And but yes, I've been in these last couple of months, I've been going out and pulling all my stuff off my rosemary bushes and using them because it's just so yummy and fresh.
You know, as it gets, rosemary gets really woody as it grows in the ground, and it becomes like an actual woody shrub, mm-hmm. and you can use the long stems of it as skewers for barbecuing.
Oop, really?
And you can put it on the grill with your meats and things too as well, and brush it with oil, and it's a wonderful herb.
Well, and I've also found because if you have an herb garden, everything grows pretty fast at certain times. So I've started chopping up my stuff, and either I melt some butter or I make my own homemade butter, which is wow. so easy to do. And then I sprinkle it in there, and then I throw it in the freezer. So I have a bunch of butter logs with like rosemary yes. or thyme or whatnot that I would like on a steak or in my pasta or whatever. So yeah, so that's what I've been doing, because I hate, you know, you look at it and it's like, oh, it's going to die, or I've got so much of this. What do I do with it? Well, I chop it up. And if I'm not going to use it in butter, then I take some olive oil and
ice cube tray.
There you go. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yes. And then sprinkle that in there. And
that is so cool. What I like to do at Christmas time is make butter. And I have a mold, one of those, what are the rubbery molds,
yes.
you know, if a Scottish Terrier. And I put the butter in it, and so we have Scottish Terrier butter for our Christmas dinner.
That's cute. I love that.
Yes. And but the herbs taste so good, and it's so easy to do. And so the average date of the first frost in December is usually December 18th. So I don't think we're going to get it, that we're going to see a freeze, really, unless it's up near, you know, the border, Florida border, and they get into the low 30s. But I don't think so. I think it's going to stay around mid to high 30s. So, but the average date of our first frost is December 18th. The temperatures usually are averaging between 73 and the lows 53. So we love December here.
Yes, definitely.
In Florida. And so what is fresh in season right now? Well, avocados are great for season right now. Bell peppers and broccoli and cabbage. Carambola. This is a good time of the year. If you would like to see what kind of fruit trees you would like to grow, go to your grocery stores, find the carambola, which is called star fruit. Find the different citruses that you would like to grow. And we're recommending growing citrus now. You can get the new varieties, the sugar bells and all the different, there's ones that have a lot of acronyms on them. Get the ones that are most resistant to the citrus greening. Cauliflower and celery, And cucumbers, of course, eggplants you can still be harvesting right now. Grapefruit and guava. There's so many different types of guava and mangoes, lettuce, mushrooms, oranges, and passion fruit. I have a girls' night out next week, and this is the blonde, the redhead, and the brunette get together.
I love that.
You know, you heard that joke. We walk into a bar, yes, and we stroll out. But one of my friends, she makes the most delicious passion fruit mojito.
Really?
Oh, it tastes so good. And she is bringing that next week. So passion fruit is in season right now. Radishes and snap beans and squash and strawberries. Did you hear Leah say she was growing her strawberries now?
Yeah.
And strawberries are in season right now. Sweet corn, tangerines, and tomatoes. And so all kinds of good things. Our little tomato varieties that we're growing. We're still getting the little cherry tomatoes growing on our bushes. I want to take this time to say hi and Merry Christmas to our dear friend, Gary Bachman.
Yes.
And he is listening today.
And his beautiful bride.
And his beautiful Katie. She is so beautiful. And so Merry Christmas, Gary and Katie. And we will see them in February. They'll be on the show in February. So we're looking forward to them.
Yes.
And so good friends. They bring you plants and all kinds of seeds.
Yes.
So that tells you what a good friend is. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Lizzie, this is the time I have my wish list for Christmas.
Okay.
What I would love is for all our listeners to go onto our Facebook page and like our page and give us 5 stars.
There you go.
Okay, that's what we really need, and we would love that. But also too, if they would tell 10 new people in the new year about Better Lawns and Gardens.
What is this, church?
Yeah. And they can tell 10 people, if somebody comes and asks you a gardening question, say, that's a great question. Call Teresa on Saturday mornings on Better Lawns and Gardens.
And that's actually a free gift that you can give to somebody that you care about, is that you can actually say, hey, you know what? Let's do something together in January and start planting. But here's the show. Go back and listen to the podcast. We can make a list of things to grow together this next year. So
wouldn't that be great? Get everybody all kind of chilling out in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then eating better, you know, those new garden resolutions, new health resolutions for the new year.
There you go.
You know, and one of those is to get out and exercise, and gardening is a great way to do that. So
it is. It's so calming too.
It's
crazy. I never thought that was a real thing, but it is.
I also want to say we have a great New Year's show for you on our, the New Year's Eve weekend. We won't be here, but Tom McCubbin and I and Lizzie will be here, and we have a fabulous show.
It was good.
And
we had
a great time doing it. So you'll want to listen to that. And just for the holiday season, getting off to a good start. And we do want to say Merry Christmas and to Tom and Joni. We do miss them. So from the better, here we go. Let's try this again, starting off. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, this Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Make sure you guys go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com, and check out what's going on there. We're giving away really cool things all year round, WFLAOrlando.com.